Welcome, everyone, into the latest edition of the JS Online and PackersNews.com Packers Podcast. Along with Tom Silverstein, I am Jim Ozarski of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thanks for being here, and thanks to our friends over at Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino, because Wednesday night wins over at Pottawatomie. Play with your club card, and you can win your share of $250,000 in total prizes. More at paysbig.com/fallwins. Speaking of fall wins, Tom, Monday night, right?
I was just going to say, speaking of wins, yeah, it's read my mind.
The 4-1 Packers will host the 2-1-1 Detroit Lions on Monday night at Lambeau Field, and an early NFC North leading tilt.
Yeah, you know what's been interesting about the start of this season is that you go into every game and you keep saying, oh, critical early season game, because there's so many NFC games. I mean, this is going to be the, second, third, fourth, fifth NFC game that they're going to play in 6 weeks. And so three of these are within the division, and these are important games for later on when you start talking about tiebreakers and position in the division. If they can go out 3-0 in the division, that's just tremendous. Even though two of them were at home, they're in great, great position if they win this game. So I don't believe in critical games early in the season unless you're 0-4 or 1-3 or something like this, but this is their chance to show everybody that they are for real.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's you're right, but especially once the divisional games happen for them later in the year too. I mean, who knows what those teams will look like? Who knows what this team will look like? So to get off to that kind of start, we talked about this at the very beginning when the schedule was announced, Tom. That look, you're playing what? 5-7 at home, you kind of had to go 5-0, 4-1, right? And they're on track for that.
Yeah, I know we talked about 5-1, 4-2, and out of that, after that Bears game. And so they are right on track there. The Eagles game was a winnable game, so they've been in every single game. And I don't know that we've seen them play their best football offensively, although I thought in Dallas, I thought that was a model for how they can win this year. For the entire season, that was what the 2019 Packers offense needs to look like in order for them to win. And probably not real popular with people that Aaron Rodgers doesn't throw any touchdowns in that model. But if you can run the ball like Aaron Jones did, it looked like the old Aaron Jones.
Yeah, you're right. It's it is interesting. I mean, the quarterback to this point, Tom, has been pedestrian at best. I mean, you've got five games in the books, and, you know, he's like 19th in rating. You know, the yardage is down, touchdowns are down. I mean, in terms of, like, offense, the passing attack is 14th in the league. You know, the running attack's 23rd in the league, but for whatever reason, the combination of the two is, you know, they've had some short fields, extra possessions with turnovers, and they've made that work.
Yeah, I don't think either of us is saying Aaron Rodgers is a bad quarterback.
No.
I think
Just to this point, it hasn't clicked in the pass game, I don't think.
Yeah, and what we're saying, or what I, you know, definitely what I'm saying, is that he's just a part of what they're doing. He's not everything. And his role has changed, and it's going to be interesting to see whether he can handle that for the rest of the year. I mean, if that's the way. I mean, there's going to be games where they're going to need him to throw 35, 40 times. But every time, you know, you see someone throw for 40 yards, and I did that study on that, you lose. Pretty much, it doesn't matter who you are. You throw 50 times, you lose. And they need Aaron Rodgers to throw 30 times and Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams and Trey Carson to combine for 30 carries.
Yeah, it's which brings us to Monday, Tom, because Detroit is they're okay. I don't know. I mean, in their view, I'm sure they feel they should be undefeated. I look at it and say they could easily be winless. So, which is maybe why they're 2-1-1, because it's somewhere in between. A lot of additions on defense, and you know, I mean they were able to execute to a degree the Patriots game plan against the Chiefs before their bye week.
Yes, they did.
They still gave up a bunch of points. They lost the game due to their own turnovers, but you know, I think the line is now 4 for the Packers, which is basically just giving them home field. I'm sort of curious if Detroit's defense if they'll allow the Packers to kind of do what you just said, use Aaron Jones and I guess now Jamal Williams, or if it's turning a little bit where they say, wait, maybe we want Aaron Rodgers to put it up a bunch.
Well, I think you'd like Aaron Rodgers to put it up more when Devontae Adams is out of the lineup, and I think we can pretty safely say that he's not going to play on Monday. We won't know that for sure until Saturday, but I think I wouldn't undersell Detroit's defense. I'm not a big fan of their offense, but I wouldn't undersell their defense. I think they have the makings, and they also have a bye week plus an extra day to prepare for the Packers. And they've won 4 straight games against the Packers. And I think they're going to come, and honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if they won. I think the Packers are a better team at this point, but it wouldn't surprise me if Detroit came in and won this game.
They've got confidence, that's for sure. And I know it is a different team, different offense, but you know, they beat up Aaron Rodgers pretty good at Ford Field, you know, last year.
Oh, yeah.
And now, granted, yeah, Mason Crosby missed 5 kicks, and you don't need to relive all that. But I mean, they did. You know, they get after it. They get after the quarterback, and you know, obviously, they can play a little bit of man coverage. And they force the ball. I mean, we're talking about turnovers with the Packers, Tom. I mean, Detroit, 8 turnovers forced.
Yeah.
And particularly fumbles. You know, so they've got some talent there. You know, I thought Matt Patricia, the way things were going last year, you heard some stuff, wondered if he'd be the coach this year. And it seems like that is turning a little bit, you know, in his way. You know, defensively for sure.
Well, you mentioned man coverage, and they're one of the first teams to do that to Kansas City, and it definitely had an impact on Mahomes. And then you see Indianapolis does it the next week. Detroit was also one of the teams that started the recipe for how to play the Rams last year. They kind of set the foundation for what it took to beat the Rams, and that was with zone coverage. So they'll do whatever they have to do to win.
Yeah.
They're not stuck in one coverage. They're not stuck in one style of defense. They're probably going to load the box up and play man coverage, I would think, with Devontae Adams not there, and dare you to try to throw it against them. And the Packers have to figure out how to run the ball in those situations.
I'm curious if the revelation that was the inside zone and sort of that interior rush on offense for the Green Bay is, if we'll see more of that. I mean, you mentioned at one point this week, Tom, we were talking about that suits Jamal Williams' game pretty well. Is also, and you know, he's back. So, you know, I guess if you're Matt LaFleur, you can kind of build off of that to a degree.
Yeah, so I'm on record in being impressed that he said, okay, we're not running the wide zone very well. We're playing a team that's really good sideline to sideline. Let's just run it right up the gut and run it right at him. And he did not stick to, you know, we have to abide by my system. He said, way to win this is inside zone. And I'm not so certain that that's not going to be the way to win it. I mean, there will be times they need to go outside. There will be times they're facing, this could be one of those games where you have a pretty stout defensive line and maybe you want to get some movement going on them. But give him a lot of credit for going to that inside zone. And to me, that's going to be their bread and butter. That's what Aaron Jones does. He's good around the corner, and he's good on his cutbacks, but I think their offensive line is better when they can just get a man on a man and wall people off and then let Jones cut behind them.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I wasn't as concerned, because I think some people were concerned that the receivers caught four passes against Dallas. And again, Tom, I think that's just because of how much of this offense I had to learn about this offseason. The fact that three tight ends caught a ball, the fact that Trey Carson and Aaron, like, that's what this offense literally is designed to do. And so, you know, I've been asked, you know, since then, like, oh, can the Packers continue to win that way? And I think they can. I think clearly they don't want the drops from the receivers. But other than that, I don't think Matt LaFleur or Nathaniel Hackett really care if these receivers combine for four catches again, because that probably means Jones and Williams have eight and the tight ends have five, and
yeah,
that's just the way it is.
Well, but look at the quality of some of those receptions. I mean, you had Jimmy Graham get a key. I'm not talking about wide receivers, but I'm just talking about in general receptions. Jimmy Graham get a key first down on third down. You had Valdez Scantling catch a ball down the middle. You had, Kumaro catch a ball down to the 2 yard line. I just think everything they did kept the chains moving. And when the chains are moving, good things happen,
right,
especially if you're running the ball well and these are coming off your run game. They ran more play action than they had run in any of their previous games. And so that's a really good sign for their offense.
Yeah. It's their one area of concern, of course, remains third down. 27th in the league overall. The only teams below them are three winless teams and the one-win Steelers. I mean, so there's some incongruencies, I guess, if that's a word, between a record and some of their struggles on offense. But I would say part of that is they're given extra possessions thanks to the defense. They're given some short fields. And in a lot of those situations, they've taken advantage of it as they've sort of worked through these things. I guess.
Well, you pointed out that their third downs, they may not be great at them, but they're avoiding a lot of long third downs on their touchdown drives.
Yeah, when
right?
they score a touchdown, they're rarely in third down, period, and they're definitely within their third and manageable window, which for them is 6 yards and less. When they do drift into those really third and longs, I mean, most teams are bad at it, but they're really bad at it. I think 20% of third and seven and more. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, I'm looking down. I'm looking at the stats now, and when it comes to passing, third and they rank like 27th.
Yeah,
on third and 11 and 15, you know.
And they've had quite a few. I mean, 8 plays of third and 16 plus.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
That is a lot. Yeah.
So for them, I think against this Lions defense, it's about, you know, that success on first and second down, because, and LaFleur said it, that's where they're at right now. They're sort of get back on track plays, just haven't been very effective.
Mm-hmm.
And to flip it over, Tom, you mentioned you're not that impressed with Detroit's offense. Stafford's been dealing with some physical stuff, but with Daryl Bevel, Wisconsin alumnus, former Packers quarterbacks coach, statistically, Stafford's off to the best, I would say one of the best start, if not the best start in his career.
Yes, he is. He
a rating is. Well over 100, only two interceptions, nine touchdowns, pushing the ball, eight yards per attempt, which nowadays is where most quarterbacks, want to be, definitely over seven. So he's playing well, and, Kenny Golladay, Marvin Jones, Danny Amendola, another Patriots.
That's a good group.
Yeah.
That's a good group. I mean, I didn't mean to say that their offense is terrible or anything like that, but I do think there's opportunities for Patton to get some pressure on Stafford.
Yeah.
I think Detroit's running game is inconsistent, and Stafford can be pressured into some dumb throws, although he's only got, I think, two interceptions.
Yeah.
And
he had the
came
one
in week two.
Yeah, and he had the fumble against the Chiefs in the red zone trying to extend a play that he probably shouldn't have.
Yeah, yeah, and that's kind of his history.
Yeah.
But you look at his numbers, they're really good. Nine touchdowns, two interceptions. He's been sacked seven times. That's not bad. But I just think the way the Packers' defense is playing, they can handle this. This isn't
right.
I think the Dallas assignment was tougher.
Okay. That's what I'm curious about. Kerryon Johnson, finally, I mean, he ran wild against the Chiefs. Almost all of his season total in yardage came 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, if you can't run against the Chiefs, though. I mean,
right. So I guess, obviously, you would think they feel good now about that, feeling they can maybe run against the Packers.
Mm-hmm. Right, who aren't the best at running.
Right.
Defense.
I guess what I'm curious about, Tom, is I believe T.J. Hockenson will be back, right? He suffered a concussion against the Chiefs.
Injury report, I believe he was limited yesterday. Is that right?
So as the reason I bring that up is we kind of confirm where Hockenson is in his recovery, is they also signed Jesse James from Pittsburgh in the offseason.
Right.
And, James is 6'7", 250. Hockenson, most Packers fans know, I think a lot of fans thought he would be, a potential draft pick in the first round.
He's not on the injury report.
So looks like Hockenson.
Oh, wait, no, he is. Limited participant. Okay.
To me, I mean, maybe that means he's in a stage
of
the protocol.
I'll bet he's probably close to coming back, yeah.
So, now, James hasn't really been used. Five catches in four games, seven targets. However, Philadelphia had two big athletic tight ends. Goddard wasn't really used as much as Ertz.
Yeah.
But the Packers' secondary, I remember talking to those guys, they said that having two tight ends like that really threw their coverage for a loop. To a degree, with what they wanted to do, what they could do, and frankly, look, Will Redmond, who's likely going to play for Darnell Savage Jr., he's a corner, he can cover, but he's given up, 6 inches and 70 pounds to these guys?
I mean,
so that's what I'm curious about, Tom. Do you think Detroit has some matchup advantages to a degree with this Packers defense, which, they turn the ball over, but, they don't really give up a whole lot of points. They're eighth in the league in that, but 22nd in yards allowed. They're 26th against the run. I mean, the defense's total numbers aren't that great either.
Yeah, I don't – where they're the best, in my opinion, is at receiver. And we've seen that the Packers can be very good in the secondary, and then, they can have their moments where they're not so good. But I don't think the game that Jaire Alexander had against Amari Cooper is the standard for Jaire Alexander. I think he was just way too hyped up for that game, and it took him a while to settle down. I think Kevin King played an outstanding game. I think they can handle those guys. I think that's a good strength. So where Detroit has to make some hay is running the ball. They've got to do what Dallas couldn't do and every other team in the league did.
Right.
Which is run the ball on the Packers. And if they can protect Stafford, then he can have a big day. But nobody's been able to avoid some of the pressure. I would say the best team that's handled their pressure was Philadelphia, and that was with a lot of quick throws, and it was also a game where Za'Darius Smith was clearly not 100%.
Yeah.
So there's nothing to me in Detroit's offense that says the Packers can't handle it, mostly because the strength of their team, as I said, is in the receiving area, and I think the Packers are pretty deep there. Now, they may miss Savage a little bit, but like you said, Redmond's not bad back there, and so that'll be the key matchup, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, both of these teams have played very close games. I mean, obviously the Packers had a huge lead in Dallas. You know, if that kid makes a couple field goals, that last minute and a half is way more interesting.
Game, huh?
So,
I have a question for you really quick. So, you were talking about Hockenson and their tight ends. What if Hockenson and Rashawn Gary had been there at the same spot, which one of those guys would you have taken?
I probably would have picked T.J. Hockenson.
Yeah.
Just because knowing that they took Sternberger in the third round, clearly a tight end was a thought, and Hockenson fits the profile so well of what they wanted offensively with the blocking. I mean, he would never have to be shuffled off the field like Jimmy Graham and Mercedes Lewis and Robert Tonyan have to be.
I agree. I wouldn't have even hesitated. I think if they had him now, their offense would be in so much better shape. You know, he is a rookie. He's got 11 catches for 166 yards and two touchdowns. He's banged up a little bit, but that's missing from the Packers' offense. Jimmy Graham, again, I've said it 1,000 times on this podcast that if you just, you know, figure out what he can do, and I think that's what they've done.
Yeah.
You know, he's running, you know, sitting down in zones. He's he had a nice break off the line of scrimmage against Jeff Heath, a safety, and cut across the field and got a first down. But then you see him in the flat, and it's a third down play, and he's got to break a tackle, and boom, he went down like a Lincoln log. You know, so he's not that guy that's a difference maker. He's just another cog, and you know that they hope, you know, any particular day that he's gonna help them out. So yeah, Hockenson would have made a big difference.
Oh,
anyway,
sure.
I just thought I'd bring that up because I know a lot of people thought the Packers should have done all they could to get Hockenson.
Yeah, you know, I don't think Jimmy Graham would have been cut by any means. I think, you know, it would be the swap of tight ends. It'd be, you know, maybe they go with another outside linebacker, a pass rusher in the third round,
mm-hmm.
you know, and find, you know, if Haggis. You're right. I mean, I think the last few weeks, you know, especially after that Denver game, they have found a spot for Jimmy Graham. But it's, you know.
Boy, next year they got to find a tight end. They got to draft a young guy or sign a free agent or something.
Because Sternberger was a project to begin with. I mean, Goody said so as much on draft
that's
day.
That's a good point. I kind of forgot about him.
Yeah, and he's, you know, I mean, he missed almost all of training camp and all of the preseason, and now is, you know, I think he'll be eligible to come off IR, you know, at whatever point. You know, he's been doing more physical activity we've seen sort of off to the side.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, he's not going
to
be a magic solution late in the year. I mean, he was so far behind anyway. Then missed the time with the concussion because of the cheap shot against the Texans. It's almost just, you know, kind of a redshirt year for him.
They are going to really hope that he's Mark Chmura in just the football sense. Chmura missed his first year with a back injury, and they thought, there was some thought that, you know, he was done. And he missed his entire year, and then, well, you know what happened. He bounced back after that redshirt year and was really effective, and I think that's what they're hoping for Sternberger, is that just start over, give him a chance to regroup in the off season, and then expectations will be higher next year. But I still think they're going to have to get another tight end.
Yeah, no, it definitely is, you know, the Graham Lewis thing. I think they can get by, right?
For this year.
Yeah,
I mean, they have no choice,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, who's available? The Giants could start ditching players, but I don't think they want to do that. They got a young quarterback. I don't think they're going to trade Evan Engram.
Right.
Tampa Bay, you know, O.J. Howard has kind of fallen out of favor there. He'd be an interesting guy for them to explore. But I don't know if that there's anybody that's going to be able to turn it around for him this year.
Yeah, especially, you know, trying to learn an offense and, you know, actually then be effective in that way. You mentioned at the start of the podcast, Tom, you know, the idea of sort of important wins early or important games early. And obviously there's a divisional element here. Chicago's on a bye. But, you know, New Orleans 4-1, San Francisco's 4-0, Seattle's 4-1. It's never too early to me, Tom, to you mentioned those NFC thing. You've got a head-to-head with San Francisco coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina has sort of found something since Cam Newton got hurt.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So they're not maybe looking as walkover-ish as maybe they did 2 weeks ago. So, there's no must wins. That doesn't happen until you're facing elimination from the playoffs. But I would say if you take an L here, that's 5 in a row to Detroit, and you lose a home game, it's much harder to win on the road in the division late in the year. I don't know. I think it's kind of a –
it's a setback.
Yeah.
It's a setback.
Because you can lose – I guess to me you can lose to Oakland next week, right? And you obviously maybe lose to Kansas City and not feel as bad about it. I think this one is kind of important just the way the schedule lays out.
I think so too. I think you're building some momentum here, and if you were to lose to Detroit at home, that would be a big setback. That's you don't beat the Bears on the road, the Vikings at home, the Cowboys on the road, and then come home and lose to the Lions. You know, that's unacceptable. And so if they did that, that's a sign of weakness. And if they don't win, that's a major setback. Regardless if they come back and, you know, beat Oakland, they've got just a killer schedule after that. And right now they're riding high after the Dallas game. Losing to Detroit at home would be like laying a big old egg right in the middle of Lambeau Field.
And segues a little bit for me, Tom, into a name that popped up on the injury report, and that was Aaron Rodgers with a knee injury, being limited. Now, we spoke to him before practice or before the injury report came out, so no idea that happened,
right.
No way to ask him. We won't know about anything more probably till Sunday.
Well, I asked LaFleur about it today and see what he says,
at
least about how much he's practicing. I don't know. They're so funny with their injury report now. They put just about anybody who's got anything on there. Sometimes it's legit and sometimes it isn't. You know, we've seen so many guys with shoulder injuries, and then, you know, three of them, it's not an issue, but one of them it is.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of games being played with that injury report with them.
Whether,
you know, Rodgers took some shots in that game, maybe he's got a sore knee. I would be really surprised if it affects him.
Yeah. I mean, just to remind everyone, he elected not to have surgery on the sprained MCL suffered last year. Obviously, tibial plateau fracture, which is a broken leg that heals on its own. And so, you know, I mean, there's obviously a history. We don't know which knee or what happened, so that would all be speculative. But
yeah,
it's a body part that he's dealt with. And I guess and that's why I brought it up sort of after the important game element to it, because look, the offense is kind of eh. He's kind of eh, and if he is limited to a degree, if what does limited mean? Is he under center, like Matt LaFleur wants him to be? Because that was the thing last year, right? Where that eliminated that whole section of that offense when he couldn't, he's gaming through it. All the credit in the world for that. But he had to be in the shotgun. So I guess it's one of those, not to alarm people, but it's worth watching for a guy who at this point in his career, Tom, these are the things that happen. They happen more often. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
It would be more worrisome if I had seen him limping during the game.
Sure.
If they had stopped running him from under center at some point during the game.
Yeah, he didn't look limited.
He didn't look
way.
Affected.
Sure.
So, we only have that to go on. If it's worse than that, I guess we'll find out ultimately on Monday night.
Right. So, yeah, it's,
keep an eye on it. Yeah, you're right.
For sure. Now, Davante Adams spoke Wednesday, and he was very candid about his injury, probably more transparent than I've seen an athlete be in a long time. Mm-hmm. Basically, in one shot said, the way I read it, don't ask me anymore when I'm going to play because it's a serious injury, I'm in a lot of pain, and I can't do the things I need to do to play football. So obviously it sounds like he's out for Monday. But he kind of, I don't know, what did you think of his sort of, he must have heard the noise, of people saying, hey, it's just a toe injury, why don't you play? Because he kind of drilled into actually what turf toe is. And
yeah, I think he's definitely out, and I think he might be out next week. He could be out to the bye week, as far as we know. I think he made it clear, and I didn't realize this, and I'm actually glad he did. He said until it's healed, there's some healing of the tissue, he can't play, or he's not going to play. That's how I understood it. Is that
how
you understood it too? So typically, those things most injuries take 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, because it's a ligament. It's a ligament in the toe, is what it is. And if you think about, we're just talking about Rodgers' knee. Usually, the bigger ligaments in the joints are 4 to 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. So, again, it really depends on the individual.
Right.
They can do some things to protect his foot, but he also knows that he's not the same guy if he can't push off his foot. And it's stupid to put him out there if it's just going to if it's going to continue to be that way the entire year by playing him now, then you might as well sit him because he's no good to you. He's not as good to you. I don't want to say he's no good to you, but he's so dependent on getting off the line of scrimmage. He's not a speed guy. He's got to be able to make his moves at the line of scrimmage and his cuts down the field that I think the smart move is to rest him until he's able to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I think and if people want to read more about that, just Google Davante Adams' footwork and Tom Silverstein. You wrote about that last year, actually.
Yeah.
With how important that is, how good he is at that. And so finally, I guess, Tom, going into this Detroit game, second game without Adams, whatever, wherever Rodgers is at physically. I mentioned, I think, you take the same kind of game plan from Dallas. I know it can't be that simple, right? But is this, we wondered about Matt LaFleur as a head coach, as a play caller, right? And that those were fair questions. We've acknowledged some positives in the way he can script, the way he can game plan, how he's not so stubborn that he's just going to run his head against a brick wall on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of test is this? You've been doing this a long time. When you've got an offense that has only a couple playmakers.
Yeah.
One of them's out. You're playing close games. I'm not asking you to fawn over the guy, but I guess I'm curious, test his mettle? Is that the right phrase?
Yeah.
For a first-year head coach?
This is a big test for him.
Like this stretch.
How do you come up with a game plan to win? Okay, you got Dallas by running the inside zone, which they weren't expecting, and playing a really solid game there offensively. But now you got the Lions have seen that you're willing to do that. They know what the basis of your offense is. They know how to defend without Davante Adams. Now it's back on you. You know, even after you just had this great game, it's right back in your court to figure out, okay, how do we beat the Detroit Lions? How do we come up with a game plan? And so, yeah, it's another big test for him.
Yeah, and I think this is the first time he's, you know, rolling through. I mean, I know he was a play caller last year, so not in that sense, but in terms of an opponent coming in off their own bye. You know, Doug Peterson came in off a short week and threw them, you know, for a loop, I think. I think Peterson had a really good day against Mike Pettine. Curious to see what Daryl Bevel does. Curious to see what Matt Patricia does after they've had, you know, a week and a day,
yeah,
right, to see this. And you know, especially, look, the Adams injury's big. I think they'll be okay with Savage Jr. I think Will Redmond is Will Redmond's not Darnell Savage Jr. but I think they'll be okay in that, right? I mean, I don't think Will Redmond's going to have Kenny Galladay running past him because he blew something.
No, I don't think so.
You know what I mean? So
I think they'll be okay.
I think defensively they feel, you know, probably feel okay health-wise.
It's going to come down to their offense scoring. It really is.
And they've struggled late in games. I mean, they've had these three multiple score leads and have been able to hold on. You haven't really seen them put the hammer down in the fourth quarter with, you know, two touchdown drives or a 10-point quarter.
I mean,
they just haven't.
Yeah.
So that'll be something worth watching too as we head to Monday night. And yeah, another big one. Looking forward to it. I think we're getting close to finding a name for the podcast.
We're getting there.
We're getting there. So again, if you made it to this point, still shoot them our way. We appreciate it very much. Thank you all for listening and doing that for us. It's been fun. And of course, once we pick a winning name, we will unveil all that. Thanks for your patience there. And I don't know, Tom. Maybe, you know, once we get the winning name, we'll go to Pato and try to win some slots. And
Wednesday night.
Yeah, on a Wednesday night. Because Wednesday night wins this fall at Pottawatomie Hotel Casino. Make sure you're playing with your club card for your share of $250,000 in total prizes. And, of course, you can learn more at paysbig.com/fallwins. So we thank them for their support. We thank you for your support. And we will catch you late night, early morning.
Yeah.
After another primetime game, Packers-Lions. For Tom, I am Jim. We will talk to you next time.